chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. We have been looking at the Ten Commandments. Today is the sixth one. So our scripture reading is from Matthew, moving to the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 21 through 26. Let's pray before we read the Holy Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us your Word, the Bible, that we can read and study, reflect on your teachings. Now we are looking at the sixth commandment today, although we are looking at the law. Lord, would you please help us to see your glory and our Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy and grace. Without Jesus Christ, every single law is meaningless to us. But Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. We know that. So would you please come to us, open our hearts. We are asking your Holy Spirit and pouring over us as we study this holy teaching from the Bible. Bless us. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God from our text, Matthew 5, 21 through 26. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, but whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to the terms quickly with your accuser, while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and then you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out of until you have paid the last penny." This is the word of God. Amen. I like this preaching from reading my scripture manuscript from my computer, and I put it in "God loves you," but it's just covered by the pulpit. Now we have come to the sixth commandment. Now, as we listen to the series on the Ten Commandments over the weeks, and we have found that the Ten Commandments are all about relationship. It's a relationship. From the first to the fourth, these four commandments talk about our healthy relationship with God in Christ. No other gods, no image of God, and no abuse the name of God, and keep the Sabbath holy. It's all about relationship with God. From the fifth to the tenth that we started last week, the six commandments today, all these six commandments still deal with our healthy relationship to one another in Christ, brothers and sisters in the church, and even extend to our neighbors and to the world. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet. All these things we will be looking at. These are the telling us of healthy relationship to one another. Now, an interesting thing is that I want to make a point this morning is that from the fifth to the tenth commandments are not just only for Christians. We think that the ten commandments are for Christians and God's people, but I want to say that it's not only for us. For all the people in the world, they need this teaching. That's why Jesus summarized these ten commandments from Mark 12, 30 and 31, he said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second, The first one is, I just read it. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Very clear. And today, I'd like to invite you to think about relationship, the word relationship. Now, from the creation, God initiated His special relationship with us. And Adam and Eve, that God created them in His own image. But the thing is, however, Adam and Eve, their relationship with God was completely destroyed because of Satan's lie. We can say, in other words, deception. Now, starting from Satan's temptation, deception, and lie, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread it all because all sinned. That's Romans 5:12. So our relationship here, our relationship to each other was destroyed and damaged, abused. Now, our broken relationship with God is surely restored in Jesus Christ, who died for us, for our sins, and resurrected and rose again from the dead. So Jesus died for our sins. Simple. It doesn't mean that we just live whatever we want to do because He died for us. No. Our life must be holy and pure. In other words, it's sanctification. We must glorify our Lord and God through our lifestyles. That's why the Ten Commandments are really important. We have to remember all these things. We are not saved by these commandments. We're faith only, faith in Christ, that we know. But we have to remember this. The Ten Commandments are the ways, these different ways of expressing our gratitude to God. That's the teachings from the Heidelberg Catechism. We have to express our gratitude to God because we are saved by God's grace through Jesus Christ. Now, although you and I, we cannot perfectly keep the Ten Commandments, it's sometimes really impossible. Because we're always battling with these commandments. But we do our best to glory our Lord Jesus Christ, and He will help us. And we also know that Jesus will be with us as He promised in the Bible. Particularly, the second part of the Ten Commandments is given to God's people or to people in us to restore our broken relationship to one another. Now, we know that distrust and hatred and selfishness all has become within us from the first sin. The relationship between the human beings got worse when Cain, from the Old Testament, the Cain killed his brother Abel, his own brother. The simple reason, because of his jealousy and anger. Now, our text, Matthew 5, is all about anger, which is very related to the teaching of the sixth commandment. Now, Cain's murder was recorded as the first murder in the Bible in the history of a human being. Jealousy and anger and murder sounds very familiar. From Cain's first murder, our relationship with our neighbors and brothers and sisters become more complicated. Sin came into us. It seems that we hear stories of murder and killing, gun shooting, rampage, and killing each other almost every day in the newspaper. And sometimes we hear that people kill other people for no reason. That's really shocking. Yes, we still feel sorry and horrified when we hear all these news, bad words about killing each other. But isn't it also true that taking people's lives nowadays become more easier than before? It's really easy for everyone. The value of human being, human life, has been seriously degraded and it needs to be restored. That's why we need the sixth commandment. The sixth commandment comes into our life as a guide, as a command from God to restore our broken relationship with one another. So we have to study this. That's why we believe that not only us, the Ten Commandments, everything, not only us, but for everyone in the world, they have to study and they have to know these things. The Sixth Commandment is very simple. It says, you shall not kill. It's a simple law and it's straightforward. Everybody knows that. The more you study about this commandment, you read books or related articles, the more you will realize that it is not a simple commandment at all. It's very complicated because this particular commandment deals with all kinds of human life matters, such as abortion, war, suicide, murder, sometimes accidental killing, and more. While I was studying about this commandment, I started digging into this law with lots of questions. I thought I'm not able to cover everything. And from my reflection and struggling of these questions, I was able to make two fundamental guidelines or questions related to the Sixth Commandment. That is, first one is why? Second one is how? So we will look at these two things, why and how, today in limited time. Let's begin with one question. Why? Why is it wrong to kill a person? But actually, most people do not need a lecture or a special explanation to teach others or teach me or yourself that it is wrong to kill another person. Now, everybody knows that it is wrong to kill people. As Paul says, and the biblical understanding is, as Paul says, the law of respect of human life is written on our hearts already, Romans 2 and 14. But think about it. However, we need some biblical reasons for the Sixth Commandment. Not just only everybody knows that when they were born, biblical reasons for Sixth Commandment, that we can ask the following questions. Why does God command you and me not to kill other human beings? The simplest reason for not killing other people is like this. We should not take other humans' lives because they are created in the image of God. That is best answer. That is the most important reason for us to remember not to kill other people. Respect others. The Bible clearly says, Genesis 1:27, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. God created you and me in His image. God shaped Adam from the dust with His hands. And then God breathed in with his own breath to Adam. That's why a theologian, Louis Smith, one of professors from Fuller Seminary, and he said, human beings are persons and their sacredness as persons puts them off limits to killers. He used the word sacredness to describe the quality of human being. It doesn't mean that we are like a holy, like a God. No, it means not like other creatures or animals on earth. People are very unique because you and I, we are created in the image of God. Because of God's own image in us, every single human being deserves respect. And their lives are precious. This extraordinary gift, like an image of God, makes us different than animals. Therefore, we don't have any right to take someone else's life. We don't have any right to degrade any human being. Different races, different people, same person. Louis Smith says, the concrete person, beautiful or ugly, productive or idle, smart or stupid, is the one whom God made, whom God loves, whose life is in God's hands. and for whom His Son died on the cross. Let's think about the following questions. With His explanation, do we really see the image of God? Do we really see the image of God when we see dirty homeless people on the street? Or do we really see God's image in the eyes of tough and disrespectful children and young people? Or do we really see God's own image in the lives of our mean and crazy neighbors next to us? We just hate them. Someone we really hate. Now the sixth commandment teaches us about one thing. Because we are created by God in His image, we have to respect other people, our neighbors. And Jesus' version of sixth commandment summarizing is, He said, love your neighbors. It doesn't matter that they are your enemies, my enemies. It's really difficult for us to love our enemies, but that's God's teaching. It doesn't matter if they are horrible criminals. We cannot just judge them by their appearances. We cannot label them. We cannot label any human being. All the people in the world deserve respect because they are created in God's image. That's one of teachings from the sixth commandment. However, we know that we also have to understand that there are some challenges and difficult questions regarding the sixth commandment. For example, this is really difficult. If we respect every single human being in the world, what about the war? What about the capital punishment? How do we deal with these challenges as Christians? I guess we can make another messages or two or three messages out of these challenges, but there are answers for these challenges, these difficult questions. Based on the teachings from the scriptures, war and capital punishment are permissible killings. I don't like their words, but people are saying that theologians and biblical understanding is permissible killings. Maybe you may be shocked by the definition of permissible killings. Let me explain to you what it means. The war and capital punishment are not individual levels of killing. It is a level of government, or we can say authority. Now, although we should respect other people's lives, it is also true that there are many people out there who don't care about others' lives. Right? Like Cain in the Bible, people kill other people out of anger and rage, jealousy, and sometimes no reason. The question is, what shall we do with those people? How can we protect the innocent from those dangerous people? And that is why Bible allows us to have war and capital punishment to protect the innocent people through the power of government or authority. That's why I said war and capital punishment are permissible killings from the Bible. The Bible says, Romans 13 and verse 3 and 4, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will command you. Verse 4 is very interesting. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, talking about authority, and an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. But we know that war and capital punishments are also vulnerable. Sometimes people abuse the power of government to kill innocent people for their own benefits. Our own history proves that Although war and capital punishment are permissible to protect the innocent people from some dangers, however, we all have to remember, we should not forget the teaching of the Sixth Commandment, the value of human being. Every human being deserves to live. Every human being is created God's own image. That's why the government or the authority, they have to be careful not to abuse the power they have. We also have to remember this. As God created human beings, God alone has the right to take life away. The Bible always emphasizes that our lives are in God's hands. Here are some examples from Psalms. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 104:29, when you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. Even Job says more clearly about God's power and authority in our life and death. Job 14:5, he says, men's days are determined. You have decreed the number of these months and have set limits he cannot exceed. God's authority and his power, sovereignty, to determine the life and death of human lives is a theological reason and biblical reason for us not to kill someone else's life. Only God has the power. As a Reformed Christians, we always emphasize the sovereignty of God, right? That means we believe that God is in complete control. And that is very logical. Since God is the one, he is the creator of human being. He is the owner of our lives. He got all the power. Therefore, it is right to say that no one has a right to take people's lives but God. But sometimes people misunderstand. How about my life? Is my life mine? Or is it okay to kill myself? The Heidelberg Catechism clearly teaches us about this. It says, question and answer number one, that I'm not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You are not yours. I'm not mine. The Bible teaches you and me that our lives are not ours, but God's. So the principle of the Sixth Commandment still applies to our own lives, my life. Don't touch me. No, not that way. God has the authority to take your life and my life. We don't have any right to take our own lives. In the Bible, there are six people who took their own lives. Samson and Saul and his armor bearer, Ahithophel, and King Zimri, and Judas Iscariot. Now, although Samson, this is interesting person, Samson took his own life, we understand it as a sacrifice. The Samson's case is different than that of other five cases. Now, Samson's death was not killing himself or suicide. He did not take his life, but gave his life for his people and God. Now that case helps us to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he did not take his life. He did not kill himself. But he gave his precious life for you and me. And we should remember that the Bible criticizes the other cases, five cases. Taking your life away is a sin before God. Your life is God's gift to you. Your own life is as precious as that of any other. To assault your own life is to violate what God commands you to respect. It's a sin from the teaching of the Bible. But we know that suicide is a very complicated topic. We cannot judge, because it's related to feelings deep inside in a human being, both psychologically and spiritually. We cannot judge. Only God can judge. But still applies to sixth commandment, value of our lives. God created. Only He has the power. Thou shalt not kill. Now another question that I want to bring to you, how? How question, which is a practical approach to the sixth commandment. How do we actually apply the sixth commandment into our real life situation? The best answer for the question is already given to us by the teaching of Jesus Christ. That is our text today. Jesus says, verse 21 through 22, I'm reading the NIV version, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka," which is in NIV, in ESV, "fool, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, and will be in danger of the fire of hell." Now, interesting to read this passage again and again. We see that anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. It's really scary. Even more, Jesus considers anger against our neighbors as a murder. Now, we should remember, we should not misunderstand this meaning of anger. There are two different types of angers in the Bible. Anger with love and justice. Anger without love and justice. Now, here Jesus is talking about anger without love, mercy, and justice. That anger is a sin. Because it degrades, insults, it destroys the image of God. With our anger in our hearts, we already kill our neighbors. That's why Jesus is saying to us this passage. He added one more, calling our neighbors raka, which means empty head, is also spiritually murder. And Jesus is talking about our cursing and bad words and verbal attacks. It's always happening. Happening to me too. I'm nicely driving in Francis. Someone is passing and yelling at me. And why? Because I'm driving so slowly. And then all of a sudden, anger came to me. What? What did you do to me? I'm a nice guy. What? That's an interesting world. For hundreds of years, people in the Old Testament understood that the sixth commandment was all about like a physical killing, but it's not. Jesus gives us a whole new picture and concept of interpretation of the law. The sixth commandment is not only extended to the act itself, but also to the internal attitude behind the act, your heart. Do you really value the image of God in other people's life, in your heart? Do you respect them? That's why Jesus says, 23, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember you or your brother has something against you," now fighting or different views or hate each other, "leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift." And verse 25, "Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, that you will not get out of until you have paid the last penny," which is really scary. But Jesus said that. That Jesus died on the cross. One reason to bring us true reconciliation. The sixth commandment requires you and me to practice that reconciliation with our neighbors, brothers and sisters, friends and family members in Christ. We have that value. We were created in God's image. We received the love of Jesus Christ. So we have to practice true reconciliation in Christ. That is one of the teachings from the sixth commandment. We are sinners before God. We're not perfect. Therefore, there was no way to reconcile with God or other people with our own ways. We can't do that. Only one way, through Jesus Christ. With Christ, in Christ, it is possible. God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross to bring us true reconciliation, bring us back to God, recover, restore our broken relationship. Now He resurrected from the dead to declare that we are God's children. These people are my people, holy people. Therefore, this is our practical way to remember the sixth commandment. It is now our turn. We need to bring the power of God's reconciliation, the power of the gospel, the power of God's love, true reconciliation in Christ. I can't do that. But the Lord Jesus Christ will help me to bring reconciliation with our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, even bring His reconciliation to the world. We cannot do it by ourselves, in Christ only, with Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do that. So whenever we read the sixth commandment, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, this is our job, to bring your reconciliation to the world. As Jesus says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We have to think about it. There is no other commandment greater than this. We have to think about it. That's why we have to remember the sixth commandment today. When I was in Alaska, one day I asked one of my students who was talking about video games a lot. And then I asked him, why did you just, you know, play that game, kill everybody in the game? Actually, I played that game too. It was really fun. John knows that, right? And that he answered me. He answered me, hey, Pastor James, it was a really shocking answer. Pastor James, the point of the game is killing. And I also read an article about those killing video games right now in this world. Now, the more people play those games, killing games, the more people will lose the sense of reality. That's the problem. That's why we hear school rampage a lot. The killing is easier than before. It's just one click. There's no sense of reality. Probably we cannot ban all the games, bad things. We can't do that. Probably we cannot prevent all killings at all. We can just stand at the mall and checking all the people, their bags. We cannot do that. But there is one thing we can do practically. We teach the sixth commandment, the meaning of the sixth commandment to people. We share. Remember the sixth commandment. Tell more about the law with God's children. The power of God's reconciliation. Share more about the Ten Commandments as a whole with people. Not only the sixth commandment, we need Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law, the entire law, who is able to make us to live up to the teaching of the Ten Commandments. The best conclusion for my sermon will be from the Heidelberg Catechism, and page number 911. I'd like to invite you to open your gray hymnals and read it together with me. 911. Question and answer 105. This is a question I'd like to invite you to read answer. What is God's will for us in the sixth commandment? Kind of summary of my sermon today. The sixth commandment helps us to think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life to save us. We are the people who received his grace and mercy. Therefore, we are the people, you and me, we are the people who value the image of God in other people's lives. That's why the sixth commandment is really important. And I hope that, pray that you remember this sixth commandment this week and study more. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for teaching us another commandment. Sometimes it is really difficult for us to understand because it's one of laws from the Old Testament. But related to these particular commandment, we want to think about it. Your powerful creation. You created us. We were created in your image. And then even Christians, we were saved by your Son grace, your Son Jesus Christ. So Lord, would you please bless us to remember all the values of teachings from the Bible and the Ten Commandments, especially the sixth commandment today. And help us to live up to your teaching. And help us to remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ.